on this week's show. Still top of the table ahead of a big clash with Deal Town, we're from Glebe joint boss Craig Nelson.
It will definitely be a tough game with a big crowd, but this is what it's all about. If you want to be in and around it, competing, then these are the games that the boys should relish. We definitely do.
And a change of manager at Ashford United. Interim assistant boss Darren Hare tells us all about it.
We're on a little bit of a journey of discovery at the moment, because obviously we've gone in there blind, and we're just sort of getting our feet under the table and having a look at how things are progressing.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of the Kent Nolly podcast, sponsored by Sandwich Town Youth FC. It's been another busy week in our little corner of the county. We've got two interviews for you to enjoy this week as we hurtle towards the first relegation of the season, which could come this weekend. And I'm sorry to bring that up so early. I'm John Phipps. He's really had enough of my car being a target for seagulls and other assorted flying creatures and their excrements. And on the line now is a man I'm sure had a riotous Saturday afternoon. Aside from that match, Gerard, how are you?
Good, mate. Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, weather's perking up a little bit. It's nearly Easter, so I get some time off work. So, yeah, I'm all good, mate. All good. I am fatigued. I think I must have done about 40 games already this season. So, I'm excited for the end of the season, but I'm glad it's coming to an end. It's been a long season, isn't it? So, and I think you're right, John. I don't know when the last time I saw a league team win at home. So, I do see a lot of home side not winning. So at the end of the season I'll work it out, but I've not seen many home wins. Of course at Dover I haven't seen any, so, but other teams as well.
Now, you live not too far from the sea like me. Does your car have a problem with seagulls? And I'm going to use the word shitting all over it.
Yeah, there is certain times of the year that it really does get affected. So and there is places when you wander the streets of Broadstairs and they're absolutely cane. So we haven't seen too many seagulls. Well, I presume they must be coming out now. But yeah, we do have issues with that as well. So and we've got one of our cars is quite a nice car. So we make sure, because if you leave it on for a while, it can cause issues. So,
well, this is the thing. So my problem, I'm not too far from the sea, but I've got my block of flats has got a car park, not an underground car park in the like, just but we've just got a car park. It hasn't got spaces.
Was that the one I dumped my car outside?
Yeah, but so the car park's on the ground floor actually, so lower down than where you were. Right. So I have to enter through a different road. But the problem that I have is that I often get in from work late. So I mean, we're talking half twelve, sometimes even later than that. And when I get back, other people have parked and I've got no problem with that, but they always leave the space that's directly under a tree. I've discovered that some well-meaning busybody has taken it upon themselves to put some bird feeders on that tree. So therefore, every time I park under it, my lovely red car becomes white.
What birds these are? Or is it going to be seagulls?
Well, no, if I knew which ones it was, I'd bloody hunt the little gits down and I'd shoot them. But
I don't think you can really do that. Annoying. It's against the law.
Well, the damage they're doing to my car should be against the law. But you are right. I think it has kind of marked the bodywork a little bit. But I've come up with a devious plan. And I don't think anyone else who lives in these flats listens. So I think we're all right, because I'm not in Kent. So why would anyone listen? So what I'm going to do tomorrow night when I get home late from work, I'm going to take the feeders and I'm going to put them on a tree that's not above the car park. Oh, right. I'm just going to take them off the tree and put them over the other side of the thing. And if anyone were to moan about it, I'd say I'm fed up with all this. I took my car to the car wash on Saturday, which was an experience. It was a very tight one to get in and out of.
A machine, or are you doing it yourself with a hose?
One of the fancy ones where you go through and it just takes you through. There was much
Did
excitement
it clear it all
about
off?
That. Not bad. There was a little bit of residue left, but not too bad. But then, you know, I've parked it again outside and we're back to
that time of the year, mate, I think, really.
Well,
I think there was a bit on the news about this. Apparently there is some place in Nottingham or somewhere that basically they've all, because these birds, where they're going, are they going flying south for the winter or coming over here? And they're all in massive loads of them in that sort of stream, if that's not the right word, but you know. And apparently they're all over this swamp area and they are absolutely caning it. So they go, but again, we're lucky, we live by the sea, mate. So if you get a bit of bird crap living by the sea, it's well worth it in the end, to be honest.
Yeah, true. I mean, I did have a nice walk along the seafront earlier on
today. Lovely day today, wasn't it?
Beautiful. Yeah, finally. It was nice. I was so, like, when I came home, I was not even going to open the window for a little bit, you know. It's been...
But yeah, it's supposed to be terrible really the next few days, so...
Oh, good.
So, yeah, it's not going to be good, I don't think so.
You always have to bring us down, don't you?
Yeah, well I'm going to get on the weather, so... Again, normally I should be wearing shorts by now, but no, it's no good, so... yeah, it's not looking too good at the weekend. But luckily, I'm going to Dartford, so I know the pitch will be quality there. So no issues with the pitch being called off.
And I'm sure I've just revealed that you love an away win. The people of Dartford will be welcoming you with open arms.
Yeah, I'm due a home win, so in a big game. So fingers crossed on that.
Absolutely. It's our 289th episode this week. And
so we're not going to do 300, are we?
Don't think we're going to get there this season, no. Maybe it'll be the start of next season.
Yeah, so many games. We must have about 6 weeks, probably. Because the season finishes, the National League finishes a week before the Isthmian League, I think. So, plus playoffs, seven, it could be tight. Depends how far our sides get.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're going to make it all the way, but you never know. Stranger things have happened. But anyway, 289 grams is the weight of the world's heaviest strawberry, which was grown by Ariel Chahahi in Israel in 2021.
At least he found some.
Yeah, well, I've seen it. If you just Google his name, he comes up. But he found something to occupy himself during lockdown. Not as big as you'd think would be my...
Is it like an apple?
Bigger than an apple. But I was thinking, like a... more on the lines of... I was thinking, like a marrow or something like that. But literally, in fact, I can see someone has measured it. So that will help us even more. It is about a foot... in diameter.
Wow. I take you can eat it.
Well, probably not now.
Do you like strawberries?
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah, it's definitely a summer thing, isn't it? We'll never need, but yeah, I do my bit of strawberries. Yeah, I don't mind a bit, yeah. Wouldn't be my go-to, probably a blueberry, but I definitely have a strawberry.
Yeah, at least he found something to occupy himself with during lockdown. I'm just going to...
There must be some pesticide involved in there.
I've not looked into it. Matt, I just look up these numbers and just come up with some nonsense.
I might Google it afterwards or something.
Ariel Chahahi, Chahi. So you can look him up and see that. They also found three aerospace and mechanical engineering students in the US who wasted a lot of time as they made a paper aeroplane which flew a record 289 feet, which is almost 89 metres. Excellent. 289 is also the highest winning score has been at the Augusta Masters. And I reckon 289, probably about the number of shots it would take me to get halfway round one.
Is that Tiger Woods?
It wasn't Tiger Woods, because obviously that's the highest. So it's not the best, is it? It's actually the worst winners get the highest score.
Must have been. I must be coming up soon, the Masters as well.
April? Yeah, it'll be next month, won't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So yeah, all the fun. All the
sports, it's loads of sport coming up. So there you go.
Yeah, loads going on. I'll tell you what. Should we talk about some sport that's already happened?
That'd be an idea. That'd be a good idea, John.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, let's start this week's show with a look ahead to a huge game on Saturday at the top of the Southern Counties East League. Glebe have been top for almost all of the season, and actually, come what may, they still will be top on Saturday night. But whatever the outcome, opponents deal will still have 7 games in hand. Glebe head to the Charles Ground this non-league day, where a bumper crowd will no doubt be in place. And while nothing will be decided on Saturday, it promises to be a cracking clash. The Chislehurst-based side beat Lordwood on Tuesday night after being held to a 1-1 draw by struggling Wellington on Saturday. And I started by asking Glebe joint boss Craig Nelson about that win on Tuesday.
Yeah, listen, it was tough down there. The conditions weren't great. Credit to Lordwood. I thought that they played the game from minute one to minute 90 plus, real high intensity, and nullified a lot of what we're very good at and made it an ugly game. So it was a well fought win. I take that any ground away on a Tuesday night. The boys had to really dig in to win that one.
It's a tough place to go, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very much so. I think any team you play in this league throws up a different challenge, and you just have to be on it. And it could have easily have gone the other way. They had some great deliveries from set pieces that they threw in a box, and they've got a long throw that was pinpoint accurate that caused a lot of trouble, but the boys defended well and dug in to get the win there.
I suppose you needed the win after Saturday, when I guess you were frustrated to need a late penalty to draw against Wellington.
Yeah, I think that game definitely frustrating. I think on paper, people would obviously expect you to win that. But sometimes when you play in the teams that are near the bottom and they're fighting to stay up, it changes the dynamic of the game. But listen, we had so many chances in that game, and you can't miss so many chances and expect to win. So we've hit the bar a couple of times, hit the post, missed the penalty before the one we scored. And had clear-cut chances to put that game to bed early on. Missed from 2 yards out. So it could have been, the scoreline could have been very different. But at the end of the day, you've got to get the job done.
You mentioned the two penalties. Was Jamie still on at the second penalty?
He was.
And was it his decision not to take it, or was it taken out of his hands?
Well, to be fair, he gave the ball to the person, to Ali, who scored. But he's missed a few recently. So I think he probably knew that it wasn't going to be him taking the next one.
And Wellington, obviously, I saw them a few weeks ago. They lost 10-1, but I think they're a different team from that. A lot of new faces, haven't they?
Yeah, they have a lot of new faces. I knew some of the boys that were there before, but I think I only knew maybe one that was there. They had some bright sparks in attacking areas that caused some problems. They did really well, to be fair. And that's credit to them and Kev and what they're trying to build and maybe stay up, or what they're trying to build for next year maybe. But listen, when you don't, the unexpected is hard to plan for. But for me, like I said, we had a lot of chances in that game to put that game to bed, and we just got to do better in those circumstances.
I think it's kind of took my next question away. So I was going to say to you, when you didn't know what team you were going to see from Wellington, and obviously there was big expectation after their previous results, I guess that was a tough one for you on Saturday.
Yeah, of course. Like I said before, every team you play in this league throws up something different. So we try to concentrate always on what we're good at and harness those good points. And then it's how adaptable the boys can be through the team that they're facing, because regardless of what you plan for, you may meet the unexpected. So it's about having a plan B or a different way of playing, or identifying where we're actually hurting the opposition and then trying to continue to capitalise on it. But it was one of those days, I think, well, we did score in the end, but it felt like one of those games whereby that could have been another 90 minutes and we probably would have still hit the bar, hit the post and not scored. And sometimes that happens in football.
The unexpected last weekend, I think you know exactly what sort of challenge you're in for this weekend though at Deal.
Yeah, most definitely, man. I don't know if I've ever said this to you before, but right before anyone had kicked a ball, if you would have asked me who would have been in and around and up there, it would have been them. They are tough to plan for. They mix it really well. They can play. They can go direct. They're high energy. Very, very good side down there. And just credit to see what they're doing in the league and actually what they've done in a lot of cup competitions this year as well. So it will definitely be a tough game with a big crowd, but this is what it's all about. If you want to be in and around it and competing, then these are the games that the boys should relish. We definitely do.
We've been talking for weeks about their games in hand. They've still got loads of games in hand, but you're still above them in the league. And I suppose if you were to get a result on Saturday, then that might knock their confidence a bit, and all you can do is keep winning.
Yeah, exactly that. We, again, the mentality this year has been us v us. Do you know what I mean? Let's concentrate on what we can do and how good we can be. And then everything else is down to us, like the gods. So that doesn't change for us. Points on the board, as the old cliche is, they've got a lot of games in hand, but they've got to win them. And if there are any more weather delays or however it kind of comes to the end of the season, they've got a lot of games to play in a short period of time. But they've stood up to the test so far. And all we can do is just concentrate on us, really.
And you've only got 5 league games to go. That's a nice position to be in at this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. We was talking yesterday, actually, on the way back, saying how quick it feels it's gone, in a weird way. It will be nice to get the job done. First of all, Saturday, we look at it game by game. But for the closing out of the games, we'll be looking to, again, 4 points for the rest of the games and just see where we land off the back of it.
It's great that you've got the playoffs to fall back on if you don't go on and win the league.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's what makes this year even more interesting than previous ones. I think it's the structure that should have been in place. for whatever reason, but we've got there now. It's there now, so it's an extra bonus to look forward to.
And the club itself continues to grow and improve, I guess. And on the pitch, this is one of the greatest seasons in their history, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been good, and it's credit to everyone, not just the boys that are on the pitch, but the backroom staff, Rocky, Grace, Amwo supported us in the background. There's a lot that goes on. Obviously, from a player's perspective, they just turn up, they play, etc. But there's so much things that are happening at the minute. It's credit to everyone pulling in the right direction to get us where we are. So yeah, it's been enjoyable.
And obviously, Rocky is I'd imagine he's a great chairman to have, isn't he?
Yeah. It depends what day, though. No, Rocky's as good as they come. So he's been fully supportive of what we want to do, and shares the vision and for the future of what's to come as well. So hopefully we're in the midst of getting the 3G planning for next year accepted. And if that is positive, then it's just another foot forward for where the club wants to go and how they want to progress. So, yeah, it's been good, challenging at times as anything is, but it's been really enjoyable so far.
Well, firstly, Matt, we're always after entrants for the nicest men in football list, and Craig is certainly worth his place. And it's got to be said that they have probably exceeded all expectations this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think last season they were doing pretty well, but this season, nobody expected them to have it. 73 points after 35 games, averaging 2 points a game. Don't think it's going to be enough. And I think they probably have to win on Saturday against Deal. But yeah, having a good day. And again, he seems pretty confident. Even if they get to the playoffs, they've got a chance of doing it. And it's an opportunity for them. Maybe it's a free hit on Saturday. 7 games in hand. You would expect Deal to bounce back well after going out of the Vars. Go on and win the division, but it should be an absolutely fantastic day and a fantastic advert for the scaffold. But fair play to Glebe. I think it's been a really good season for them, and I'm sure he sounds pretty confident that they can still play a major part in it as well.
Absolutely, and I think as well, you know, what you said there is something that we debate a lot. Games in hand or points on the board. They've got the points on the board, and he's happy with that. And one thing that I said to him there, and we didn't really go into too much because he wants to win the league, but they've only got 5 games to play between now and a potential playoff. And that's going to put them in a better condition than other teams. You've got to play a lot more games at this time of the season. And, you know, this season in particular, there's been a lot of criticism about all games being called off. And there are teams in other divisions with lots of games in hand. But fair play to the Scaffold, who've managed to get Glebe on 35 games on the 20th of March. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, well, I didn't really think about that. Yeah, of course, we 5 games to go. They're in decent form. They can probably give it as much as they can against Deal on Saturday. You know, somebody sent me the league table at last night, and it is looking good for Deal. I don't know what points target Steve King's thought they would try and get to, but they're in a very good position. 7 games in hand, 6 points off the top. That could be down to 3 points on Saturday. I think, you know,
Where Deal are lucky is they can afford a slip up or two and still win.
Right. They could draw all those games, can't they? And they'd still be top of the league.
Yeah.
So, I think it does, as you say, give them a real good opportunity. And again, there's no need to panic. And we said before, points in the bag or games in hand. Maybe this is the first time we think games in hand could be the way to go. Yeah, it should be a really good game. I'm sure there'll be a decent crowd at Deal, probably the best in the area on Saturday, because they're £5 to get in while the club's charging a lot more and not doing much. So, yeah, really should be a really good afternoon for Deal. And maybe Deal will want to go, right, let's beat Glebe and then really know that they've got a good chance. But Deal's really is to lose now, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd say so, but I'm sure that Craig wouldn't be saying that.
But again, we've seen football a lot, really, in these sort of things. So, it's a good opportunity for them. But Glebe, fair play to them.
Yeah, I think Glebe have been fantastic. They've been. I think that's the second time we've had Craig on the show. And the first time we had him on, it was quite near the start. They were getting ready for a very early Vars tie. And they were really on the crest of a wave after a really good start. But actually,
they've just kept on going. You know, they've been relentless, and I'm pretty sure they've been top of the league all season, Matt. And you know, yes, they've got Jamie Philpott, who scores goals for fun, not penalties apparently at the moment, but they've done such a good job there. And you know, it's really good to see. And having spoken to Craig today, he's got quite a lot on in his day job as well. So the fact that they can, that they're still flying high and going great guns, he's doing very well.
I think, yeah, it's again, we had him on last time that they're going to, you know, they were doing off the pitch. Rocky, the chairman, he was very, you know, I think they're going in the right direction again, John, but not many people would have tipped them, I don't think, to be too far up that division. But they're in a good position and strange things are happening. So with five games to go, if he wins all 15, it could have a chance.
Absolutely. That's all they can do. That's, as I said to him there, that's all they can do is try and win games of football. And interesting about the penalty on Saturday as well, Matt, with the Wellington game, where they missed one penalty and then Jamie Philpott gave the ball to someone else to take the second. It's always interesting when someone's missed a penalty, isn't it?
I'm not a big fan. If you miss one, you shouldn't be on it. But I think Jamie Philpott, good player at this level, knows where the thing, clearly giving it away to his strike partner, maybe, and he scored the goal. So, yeah, fair play to him.
Let's have a look at that league table. We've just talked about it quite a bit. But Glebe top with 73 points from 35 games. Deal have got 67 points from 28. Corinthian also have 67 points, but from 33. Faversham 3 points further back on 64. They've also played 33 games. At the moment, Erith Town are in the final playoff place with 59 points from 31. They've got a 4-point cushion to both Bearsden and Whitstall. Although Snodland, who are playing their 31st game of the season as we speak, can leapfrog both of them tonight. Let's look back at the weekend results when Bearsden and Holmesdale drew 1-1. Faversham won a thriller 3-2 at Erith Town, the last gasp goal from Jake McIntyre. Hollins and Blair lost out 4-2 at Fisher. We've already heard about Glebe's 1-1 draw with Wellington. BCD won 4-2 at Lordswood. Another cracker at Lyd, where Ryan Smith's last-minute goal saw the host beat Stansfield 3-2. Punjab United beat Corinthian 2-0. Snodland won by the same score at Rustall. Deal beat Sutton Athletic 2-1 with a winner coming from a Jack Penny penalty 3 minutes from time. And it ended 0-0 between Whitstall and Tunbridge Wells. Now, Tuesday night, it was 1-1 between Corinthian and Sutton Athletic. Deal beat Fisher 3-0. Erith Town beat Tunbridge Wells 2-1. No goals as Holmesdale faced Faversham. It was 1-1 between Kennington and Bearsted. We've heard about Gleamswood at Lordswood. And Whitstable were 3-0 winners at Wellington. As I say, there are two games in that division this evening. Hit the magic button. And I'll tell you that at the moment, Hollands and Blair are 2-0 up at Rustall down the bottom of the table. And it's Snodland 0, Punjab United 0. And we'll bring you those final scores later on in the show. This weekend, non-league day, as we're already saying. But lots of games going on. Bearsted at home to VCD. We've all discussed that top of the table clash between Deal and Glebe. Erith Town meet Whitstable. Faversham at home to Rustall. It's Holmesdale against Corinthian. Kennington host Fisher. Punjab meet Lordswood. Snodland against Tunbridge Wells. Stansfield take on Hollands and Blair. Wellington meet Lyd. Before on Tuesday night, Deal host Welling. Erith meet Holmesdale. And Tunbridge Wells meet Bearsted. And then on Wednesday, it's Hollands and Blair travelling to Punjab. In the first round Saturday, lots of draws, actually. AFC Whiteleaf 1-1 with Tooting Beck. 2-2 draws at Faversham Strike Force against Bride and Ropes. And for Staples Monarchs at Lewisham Borough, it was 1-1 between Meridian VP and Forest Hill Park. The other two games were both 3-2 home wins for Rochester over FC Elmstead and Canterbury against SC Thamesmead. Larkfield at New High, they've still got 10 league games to play. Then won 4-1 at K-Sports on Monday. Two games in that division tonight as well. The latest scores in those ones at the moment: FC Armstead 1, Faversham Strike Force 0, Forest Hill Park 2, Croydon 1. Lots of games going on in that division as well on Saturday. It's Bride and Ropes against AFC Whiteleaf, FC Armstead against Staples Monarchs, K Sports against Croydon, Larkfield and New Hive against SC Thamesmead, Lewisham Borough against Meridian VP, and Tooting Beck against Greenways, and Croydon hosts FC Armstead on Wednesday. But I've missed the game out there, Matt, because the game between Faversham Strike Force and Rochester on Saturday is an 11 o'clock kickoff for non-league day. You could go and watch both Faversham Strike Force and Faversham Town without even moving on Saturday. That's a great idea, great initiative. And, you know, it shows again the usefulness of having a 3G pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. I did read that somewhere. It'd be a really good, interesting thing for clubs to sort of do on non-league day. Faversham Strike Force, Faversham, really good thinking about it. You could have a really good day, I think, watching the football. Probably stay back afterwards and watch the England game after it as well. So, plenty of football to get involved in.
You should go to Faversham Strike Force on your way to Dartford, mate.
I could do, yeah, I could do. But unfortunately, I've got stuff to do in the morning. But yeah, I'm sure there will be. But Is there no, there's none at after 6 o'clock, any groundhoppers can't do anything, can they?
No, I don't think so.
But really good idea. So even though we do find non-league day pretty patronising, sometimes it can be to be good effect. And hopefully, if you are a non-league fan or you listen to the show, you're not going and you haven't been to a game before, maybe to start now.
Absolutely. Saturday will be a good day to go. Let's move up to the East Midlands South East, where there's a change of lead after Cray Valley PM hit 6 in their win at Beckenham on Tuesday night, while Ramsgate lost 1-0 at Horndean. Both the top two had won on Saturday. Rams 2-1 at Burgess Hill and Cray Valley 2-0 at Sheppey. While third place Sittingbourne slipped up, they lost 1-0 at home to Broadbridge Heath. Elsewhere, Hythe drew 1-1 with Three Bridges. Irith and Belvedere lost 3-1 at Lancing. Herne Bay drew 2-2 at Merstham. It was 0-0 between Phoenix Sports and East Grinstead, and 1-1 between Sevenoaks and Beckenham. For on Tuesday night, Sevenoaks lost 4-2 at Broadbridge Heath, and Hythe beat East Grinstead 3-2. And there's one team I've left out from that list, Ashford United, who were 1-0 winners over Littlehampton on Saturday, but lost 3-0 at Burgess Hill on Tuesday, with both of those games coming under different managers after Kevin Watson left his role on Saturday to be replaced until the end of the season by Alan Walker, with Darren Hare as his assistant. With Don Crosby now having agreed the sale of the club, it really is all change at Homelands. And Matt spoke to Darren Hare earlier today.
Well, all I can tell you is he's, you know, how the club made, well, Alan made contact with me. I was eating fish and chips down at Seasalt Beach on Friday night, and Alan called me and said, look, you know, I've been asked to go in and oversee things till the end of the season, would you come in and help? So you don't turn Alan Walker down, you know, all these experience, and, you know, I've known him a long, long time. So, and plus, you know, Ashford Town back in the days were, you know, a club that I hold dear to my heart. So it was a win-win for me, really, but it was very much a shock, very much a surprise. And yeah, the very next day we were in watching the game. So, all a bit very, very quick, and like I said, wasn't expecting it at all.
Alan's role, I think, he was at Maidstone, of course. He was still a sort of a trainer for football coaching, wasn't he? Sort of quite high up in that with the FA. Is he still doing that?
That's right. No, he's not doing that so much now. I think he still supports coaches, mentors them, you know, as and when he can. That's how I've got to know him, through Coach Ed. Obviously, I think that, you know, he's very successful at Sittingbourne as player manager, and was manager at Maidstone as well. So he's got a wealth of experience, pro licensed coach, you know, ex professional, knows a lot of people. So you know, he's a great guy. So I had no hesitation in you know, joining him, really.
I don't know if you'll be able to answer this question. With the news that Don Crosby had sort of accepted an offer from somebody to take over the club coming forward, is Alan involved in that situation as well, or is this, he's been called in by Don to help out?
Well, I think a little bit of both, to be honest. Obviously, you know, I'm aware of who the new owners are. You know, and I know them. They're football people, good people. Obviously, know Don a long time as well. So I think Alan's been asked to come in and oversee things until the end of season in the first instance. You know, and I think at the moment it's more about observation, maybe, you know, just learning about the players that we got, giving the players the opportunity to just go and express themselves, opportunity to earn a new deal for next season. But yeah, we're on a little bit of a journey of discovery at the moment, because obviously we've gone in there blind, and you know, we're just sort of getting our feet under the table and having a look at how things are progressing. But I think with Don, certainly, I can't speak for the owners, but I think they wanted to make a change because they felt it was the right time to actually have a good look at what's going on at the club with the team, with the infrastructure, you know, with how they want to proceed forward with things. And the club's in a situation where it can't go down, it can't go up, so there's no real pressure. You know, we can have a look at a few of the kids, which we'll do over the next few games. And it's really then a case of Alan and I going back to the new owners and to Don, if he's still involved in whatever way, shape or form, and saying, look, this is what we think and this is who we think. You know, that might not be us. So, you know, we're very much stewards at the moment, just sort of looking after it until the new owners are firmly announced and everything's agreed.
You're not going to tell me who those new owners are, of course, but have they got links to Kent football, have they known to the Kent scene?
They will be, and you'll find out sooner rather than later. They can't say too much. Yeah. All the due diligence needs to happen, etc. So,
I presume it's exciting times for the club.
Yeah, I think so. I'll be honest. You know, I wouldn't have gone back in if I didn't think it was the right opportunity. They've got a real big vision for what they want to do with the football club. That's not easy, especially at that level. It's a tough league to get out of. As any manager who's managing a team in this division this year will tell you. So it's not easy. But what it's done is it's given us 8 games towards the end of this season, have a good look at what we've got in the building, and then to make recommendations on where perhaps they need to strengthen for next year moving forward. So, that's our remit. That's our brief at the moment. And, I'm looking forward to getting to know the players a little bit more moving forwards.
You've seen 2 games, one from a watching brief and one in the dugout last night against Burgess Hill Town.
Yeah.
You've seen a win and a defeat. Disappointing last night, level at half-time, losing 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, but you know when a result doesn't match the performance. And I think that was kind of definitely a situation yesterday. You know, first half, we were a little bit tentative, I think, first 20 minutes. And that's to be expected. A new management team, obviously, a few extra nerves. And Burgess Hill are a decent side. You know, they're great going forwards. They do attack you in waves. But we defended really, really well. And then we grew into the game and arguably had the best chances in the first half. Second half, we started well again. First 10 minutes, bright, created a couple of chances, hit the crossbar. Young Noah had a couple of good 1v1 situations where perhaps he could have scored. And then we have a goal go against us, which kind of is a little bit of a lesson to be learned. But in the same breath, you know, a little bit harsh on us because obviously we'd squeezed up, they dropped the ball in behind us and a player's 10 yards offside. Stops running after it and then someone from deep stops chasing. Of course, we'd stopped. So our back line had just assumed the linesman's flag was up, that the ref was going to give the offside. He didn't do that. So, our bad really from our lads' point of view. Obviously, hopefully they'll learn from that they got to play to the whistle because from the resulting cross, they scored. And goals kind of change games a little bit, especially at that level. So it knocked us back a little bit. We continue to have a go. I mean, and I'll be honest, I think Alan would agree, can't fault the players at all last night. Their effort, their attitude, how they went about things was superb. We couldn't fault that. And there was a lot of positives to take out of it. Like I said, you know, you read the paper in the morning, 3-0 sounds a bit like a drubbing, but it definitely wasn't that. And if there's any way to sort of, ram that home, you know, their keeper got man of the match.
Mm.
So,
you've been involved in the Kent scene for a while now, yeah. How strong do you think Kent football is looking at Ashford? You've been at the Scaffold as well. How do you think Kent football is looking at the moment?
I think it's very strong. There's a lot of talented footballers playing in the lower leagues now. And I don't know whether over time that's cascaded down from, you know, Premier League, Football League, younger players dropping down the divisions where they don't find they get chances or they don't play. Ultimately, that's trickled down. I think the academies that have been brought in have made a good impression. You've only got, you know, how successful Dover's Academy's been over the past 3 or 4 years. You know, non-league clubs now starting to recognise that there's an opportunity to bring youngsters through along with education. The standard's definitely better than it was 10 years ago at this level, 100%.
Right. And for you personally, great to be back in the game. And if it works out with the exciting things coming at Ashford, you'd like to be involved.
Yeah, there were two things for me, Matt. First of all, is like, could I do it? Obviously, I've got a great job, which obviously is my bread and butter, you know. And I've got, you know, great support from the company that I work for. They've trained me, you know, and I owe them a bit of loyalty. So it was, first of all, could I do it? Secondly, obviously, I wanted to work would love to have worked with Alan over the years and hadn't managed to do it. So it's an opportunity for me to do that now. And I'm going back to a club where possibly I had the best two seasons as a player. You know, my most prolific. When Peter Sillett was manager, we was at the older Cellar Park ground. I'm going back to a club that I hold quite dear to me, my heart. So I'm looking forward to trying to help him, whatever capacity that turns out to be. I mean, no one really knows what's going to happen at the end of the season. So we're just in to do what we got to do, achieve our brief this year, provide some recommendations, hopefully bring a few players in. We haven't got long to do that because obviously the window of signing players closes soon. But we'll try and bolster the squad a little bit if we can in the meantime. And again, our message to our boys will be, look, give us 100%, go out and enjoy your football, go and excite, go and create, go and express yourself, and earn yourself a deal for next year. And that's pretty much what we're going to, the message that we're going to support.
Well, it seems all going to be a case of carte blanche at Ashford next season. New owners, probably a new manager too. I'd say this season hasn't gone as well as they would have hoped, Matt, and maybe it's sensible to make that change at this stage of the campaign.
Yeah, I think clearly the new owners, whoever they may be, but known as into Kent football as well. Interesting. I haven't heard any gossip or anything, John, that's going on. So who's going to be taking over? But yeah, Alan Walker, a good fit, knows the game very well. Good coach, can work with players. Feel a little bit sorry for Kevin Watson because since he's left Cray, he went to Herne Bay. That didn't really work out for him as well, did it? So. Maybe he'll have to go back to go forward. Just a little bit disappointed for him. For Ashford, you know, Tommy Warlow's done well over the last couple of years and they expect probably to kick on, but unfortunately they haven't done. And for a club, I always think Ashford probably where the people are and a number of people who live around the Ashford area, they could probably get a good, I know the ground's in a bit of a difficult place, but the catchment area is very good. So, if you've got a new owner, we don't. Again, I've got no idea who it is, so I can't even speculate on that. And if they're going to invest money into the club, it could be an interesting time for the club. And Alan Walker hasn't managed probably what 15 years, maybe when he was with Lloyd Hume at Maidstone. So a surprise one, but Darren Hare's very much in the will be with Faversham and Dover and various clubs, so he knows the local area. And a club after his own heart. So, I felt a little bit sorry for Kevin Watson, but normally when new owner comes in, new managers come in, and maybe they've started that already.
I think it's one of those that where I feel really sorry for Kevin Watson, obviously they were so hamstrung by the fact they didn't play at home until November. And that's obviously been difficult to get over that and build something. And, you know, Kevin Watson did a phenomenal job at Cray Valley over several years. But I think he didn't get the chance to, you know, make his mark as he would have liked to have done at Ashford United. And in terms of the timing of the decision, I mean, they just won a game of football and then the party company with him, as it was Alan Walker and Darren Hare were in the stands on Saturday.
Well,
and as Darren
said,
we'd had the call on Friday. Yeah. But I think where it makes sense, actually, is there's no one being signed up for next season now. They're not looking at next season. They're assessing how everything is, whether the new owners bring in a new manager. I expect they will. But, you know, there's no one knows they're going to be definitely there next season. So they're all effectively playing for a contract, I suppose. And the fact that there is someone's come in from outside as a new interim manager gives everyone a fresh start. And then they can really work out what path they want to go down for next season.
Yeah, it's a fresh thing for the players. They've got to make sure the results improve on the pitch as well. They haven't got the top two to play, so interesting to see how they got it. Have you had any gossip, John, that you can say you think's taken over?
No, but you can look at your phone, a suggestion. But no, I've not heard anything. But Darren Hare is a good football man, and he would, you know, for him to say that these people are going to have the best interest of the club at their heart, I think is a good endorsement. And, you know, we talk about it a lot. We used to talk about it with Tommy Warlow. Potential of Ashford United is massive, but the club's got to be run right. They've got to have, you know, they've got to make themselves friendly and approachable to the people in the local area. I mean, Has it always been the most pleasurable experience to go up to Homelands? I'm not 100% sure. So hopefully when the new owners come in, be a bit of a new brush, a fresh start for everybody. And then the people of Ashford will have hopefully have a good, strong football team to get behind.
Yeah, I did hear that name you just texted me as well. So,
months ago, but that wouldn't shock me.
No. Yeah. Respected in the game and a good challenge for them. So, yeah. So here it goes. But good to see Darren. Good to be Alan Walker, because Alan Walker was always, when I remember interviewing him years ago, he was a tough, no-nonsense centre-half for the Gills. He was a tough interviewee as well, because he wouldn't mess with Alan Walker. So the players will be in no ways they'll be told that you have to do the right things at the right time. So a good appointment just to see where the club's going in the right direction, I think. Then.
Yeah, 64 years of age, though, Alan Walker. So, you know, fair play to Ashford for tempting him to come, out of a sort of retirement. Because, as you say, it's been a long time since he's been involved in a club. But, you know, for me, I'll always remember, I'd have been eight in the first ever Kent derby when he headbutted the post in the last minute. Gillingham lost to Maidstone on that day. I remember that story being everywhere at the time. A real no-nonsense defender. And as you say, I'm sure he'll be a no-nonsense manager. And Ashford, I'm sure, will look to finish the season strongly now.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if there is a new manager bounce from that, as the players will know what's going on probably for next season. So they look into it. And again, I think it's an experienced pair of eyes to maybe say to the new owners, this is what you should keep, and this is where you look into it, you need to improve on.
Absolutely. Hi, they're at home to Beckenham on Thursday night before on Saturday, the Bex host Sittingbourne. On a special day for two of their supporters who are getting married before going to watch the game. Phoenix Sports go to Broadbridge Heath, Sheppey head to Chichester, Cray Valley meet Hythe, Irithan Belvedere host Horndean, it's Herne Bay against Seven Oaks, Ramsgate home to Lancing, Nashford head to Three Bridges, and on Tuesday night, Ramsgate on the road to East Grinstead, Sheppey go to Horndean, it's Hythe against Herne Bay, and Irithan Belvedere make the trip to Littlehampton.
Was that last night a big moment for the league? Cray catching back their goal difference and Ramsgate losing?
That is potentially huge. But, you know, there's tough games to come for both teams. And still, well, I suppose the one big difference it makes is it's back in Cray Valley's hands now.
Yeah.
And they know that a draw down at Ramsgate when they meet in the middle of next month would give them the advantage. So that does make a difference in that aspect. But, you know, I think there's still a lot of football to be played. But, yeah, a big moment. And, of course, interesting that Ramsgate play next midweek, Cray Valley don't. So Ramsgate will then have a game more all the way through this. And I believe that Cray Valley have got a rearranged game in the last week of the season.
It's against Hythe, isn't it?
So, yeah. You know, for that, so that could be a little factor that Cray Valley are always going to be chasing now, potentially, because they're always going to have that game in hand. So that gives it an extra facet. But yeah, to go and win 6-0 against the Beckenham side, who conceded five the previous weekend, but in between got a decent draw at Seven Oaks, as a big statement from Cray Valley. And Ben Smith said to me, you know, we've got to go to Horndean, it's a tough place to go, and he was proven right.
Yeah, it was a tough. Yeah, I know the pitch wasn't in great condition, and apparently the referee didn't know if the game was going to go ahead, but both managers were keen to do that. So just a bit of a blip for Ramsgate. But again, we've seen them bounce back when they have done, but there must have been a bit of, particularly, I think the biggest thing come out of that, the goal difference has been completely chalked out, which could have been crucial come the end of the season. So yeah, we said plenty of twists and turns, and I have to say advantage Cray after this week.
Absolutely. But who knows what will be the case this time next week.
In the
Eastern Premier Division, it's looking pretty bleak for Margate, who are now 8 points from safety with eight games to play after Folkestone were beaten 3-2 at Cheshunt on Tuesday night. Gate themselves had lost 3-0 at Carshalton on Saturday, while Cray Wanderers won 4-0 at Haringey Borough. Folkestone beat Cambion 1-0. Chatham drew 1-1 at Hastings. We talk about it a lot, Matt. I don't really know what else we can say about Margate at the moment.
I think they're going to get relegated. I think, how many games we've got left? Eight games to go. They've won six all season.
And only one of those under the new manager.
Yeah, it hasn't really worked out under Mark Stimson. I'm thinking they may need to win at least six of those eight games. So they need to, what they've done in the first 34 games, they need to do it now. But there's been no upturn in any sort of form, is there?
No, the worrying thing as well is you're just talking about goal difference in you just looked at what I've just looked at. Margate's goal difference is minus 32, and Chesson, the team above them, is minus 13. Now that is definitely worth an extra point to the Ambers.
They've got to go to Chesson and get something. They cannot afford to lose that game. Did we see this coming from Margate?
No.
I always thought they had enough in this division, maybe not to fly high at the top end of the table, but to have enough to stay in it. But this will be an absolute disaster. Has changing the manager made any difference? Not at all. So, and I'm sure Rhys Prestidge, must be thinking, results weren't great, but maybe if I'd have been in longer time with his squad, I could have turned it around. But he just hasn't really worked under Mark Stimpson. And they did give him an 18-month contract. So I presume Margate aren't even in a position to get rid of him. Not saying that I think they should, because he has got enough experience, but hasn't worked out. And I see he's been quite critical of the players as well in the Kent Online this week as well. So interesting times at Margate. And I still haven't seen anything, John. They haven't put anything on social media if they've started building a stand yet. And it's in the middle of March and they thought this stuff could be happening in February. So a little bit concerning.
Absolutely. They're at home on Saturday to Enfield when Chatham are home to Haringey. And then on Sunday, it's Cray Wanderers against Folkestone and Invicta. Before on Tuesday night, they're going to try again, Matt. But if the weather forecast is rubbish, Margate will once again go to Chesson's. Chatham were also in action on Tuesday night, but they lost their Kent Senior Cup semi-final 5-3 to Ebbsfleet United, meaning Fleet will play Maidstone in the final after the Stones beat Dartford on penalties. And that was a second win at Prince's Park in the space of 3 days for Maidstone United to leave Dartford firmly in the relegation zone there. Again, Matt, it's looking more and more worrying for them. And you're there on Saturday. They desperately need a result, don't they?
In the Alan Dowson derby. Again, result against Hemel drags Hemel into the equation as well. So this is the proverbial six-pointer at the bottom of the table. Yeah, again, they haven't had a new bounce under Aidy Pennock. With sides around them, particularly Eastbourne, you think they might have something in it to get out of it. Haven't at the weekend. I'll be impressed if they could get out of it, because Dover were much better than them and they didn't win. But yeah, I just don't. Yeah, on paper, Dartford have got a very good squad, and fair play to them. They've reduced the admission fee for the next four home games to £10 to try and get more people behind the club and into the equation. Absolutely massive game on Saturday. They cannot afford to lose to Hemel Hempstead. They beat Hemel Hempstead, it drags other teams back into it, or Hemel back into it. So yeah, it's in Dartford's favour. They've got a lot. They've got Eastbourne and Havant to play as well. So you know,
Truro.
So yeah. So they've got some teams around them. What they need to do, but they need to show a little bit of spirit and a little bit of guile to try and get out of this. A lot of those squad members probably haven't been in a relegation zone before because they've got some experienced players in there. But hopefully, Aidy Pennock's had a good week in training. Well, tomorrow only 1 week. Because of course they played near enough the first team yesterday. So every time I look at the league table, I fear for them, John. But they've got to be. I don't even probably think a draw is good enough against Hemel on Saturday, is it?
No.
This is a major shock, Dartford, being in this division. They've been on since they've moved to Prince's Park, they've been on the crest of a wave. A couple of seasons in the National League, got relegated, but they've always been at the right end of the table. I'll have to look to see where their league positions have been in the National South the last few years. I cannot believe it's any lower than eighth or ninth. So this is a major shock, and it will be a major shock if they go down. And it'll be interesting to see the atmosphere on Saturday.
I was just about to say, actually, Matt, it's going to be an emotional day on Saturday, because obviously the club have announced earlier on today that the club's co-chairman, Dave Skinner, passed away earlier on today after a long illness at the age of 73. Supported the Darts since the late 1950s, was chairman of the Supporters Association from 1988, and fundamental in the rescuing and reforming of the club in 1992. And they say in their statement, the club wouldn't be here now without his hard work and guidance over the last 32 years. So, I mean, surely the message for Adrian Pennock now is do it for Dave.
I didn't know that. He was such sad time. So there's such a good club, Dartford, and people who brought them back to this club as well, back to the Vera. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Let fingers crossed they can get a result for him, because that'll be the most important thing.
Yeah, and you know, massive, massive thoughts of everybody at Dartford, because obviously a real pillar of everything that they've done over the last few years. And let's hope that he's looking down and can help you over the line in this relegation battle. Talking of relegation, I hate to do it, Matt, but it needs a few results to go against you. But if you were to lose against Farnborough on Saturday, and Taunton, Truro and Torquay were all to draw, then I'm afraid to say that your relegation will be confirmed.
Yeah, well, I have to say, I thought on Saturday we should have won if we could put the ball in the back of the net. As we cannot put the ball in the back of the net, we've got major issues, really. Defensively, we are not bad, I don't think. We've got some good players, and if we'd had this defence at the start of the season, we might have been okay, but yeah, it's yeah, it is what it is. It's been coming. Clubs not looking going in the right direction. And hopefully, this is the lowest of the lows now, and hopefully we can move on from there, really, if we can. But yeah,
do you think in hindsight, and this is a horrible thing to say, but do you think in hindsight, staying up on the last day of last season wasn't all that, really? You know, no. Would it have been better? Because this has been another miserable campaign to be a Dover Athletic supporter, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been dreadful. Absolutely. And again, there's people who are loyal supporters who still go every week, and they haven't seen them win for as long as I have. So, yeah, it's dreadful. And again, when we spoke to Jim Parmenter at the back end of last season, I was very surprised he gave Mitch Brundle the job at the start of the season. He gave it to him. Clearly, it didn't work out. And now, yeah, I think it may have been the best thing for the club. My only hope is, and I don't know if they have or not, that they've got a plan now for the future. And I'm not saying, oh, let's bounce back and be in the National League within two seasons, but maybe a five-year plan, like all clubs should do, and say, right, in the next 5 years, we want to be back in the National League South and be in a top 10 side. We've got to have some sort of plan, because at the moment, everybody's thinking we're going to get relegated again next season. So, yeah, it is what it is. Disappointed for so many people, but yeah, it is what it is, isn't it? So, again, and that's more galling. Yeah, gutted. Am I gutted? Well, not really, because I'm just immune to it all now.
And that's sad, because you are Mr. Dover Athletic, and you know, people know how much you love that club. And when you just say I'm immune to it all now, and you know that it's just coming, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you know what? You've been down even further before, and you bounce back to that.
Yeah.
So let's hope it can come again.
Yeah, you've got to hope that it will do. So
it's been a great week for Welling United, though, Matt, in their battle against the drop. They just continue their great run of form, don't they? Only a draw for them on Tuesday night, but another win on Saturday. And you know, people question the Danny Bloor decision. I know we certainly felt it was very harsh on Danny Bloor, but they beat Western Supermare 3-1 on Saturday. They were unlucky to only come away with a point from Hampton Richmond Borough on Tuesday night. Rod Stringer has done a fantastic job there, hasn't he?
Again, when he came in, I think I did his first game or second game in charge. He had a bit of an aura about him, Rod Stringer. You know, A, you wouldn't mess with him. And clearly, his record in the game at National South and North level wasn't too bad. And you just felt it was a good appointment. He's brought his own players in who've been good. And the results have been excellent. And you cannot grumble. He's brought really wisely as well, I think. So, they've got a very good chance to try to get out of this. So, Matt, sometimes we mentioned there some managerial changes haven't worked for certain clubs. It's definitely worked for Welling.
That is definitely 100% the case. Welling up to 16th.
Yeah, but he just seems somebody, and again, we'll also give a bit of praise to Kevin Watson. Not that the different Kevin Watson, who was Ebbs League manager, we had on the show a few times. Clearly, he works on the coaching, and he's very wise as well. So,
oh, phenomenal coach, Kevin Watson, and a nice bloke as well. So,
yeah, exactly. Really so, I think he should get some praise for it. But again, we felt for Danny Blore when he lost his job. But Welling, we're in a good position to stay up here.
Absolutely. This weekend, the Wings are at Chippenham. Dartford, as Matt has already said, at home to Hemel Hempstead. Maidstone at home to Western Supermare. Dover at home to Farnborough. Tunbridge Angels, who beat Torquay 4-1 on Saturday, they host Truro. So actually, Matt, they could do you a favour and prolong your agony for another couple of days. And then on Tuesday night, Dartford finally make their trip out west to Truro. Not sure where that's being played these days, but who knows. We will see what happens with that one. But Dartford just need a result on Saturday, and hopefully that will come for them. And maybe once they get one result, Matt, the confidence will start coursing through them, and you know, those teams above them will all be feeling a bit vulnerable, won't they?
Yeah, I think I'm shocked. I didn't know the news about Dave. He's always, you know, when I walked in the ground, he'd always say, "Hello, how are you?" So really, really set, you know, he was Mr. Dartford. So it will be a very emotional time on Saturday, and hopefully the people on the pitch, the players on the pitch, can do him a favour, because again, really sad times, and I'm really disappointed, really upset about that, because he was such a nice guy.
Absolutely. In the National League on Saturday, Ebbsfleet United, a crucial win for them, 4-2 over Gateshead. They are now 16th in the table and 4 points clear of the drop zone in this crazy bottom of the table. While Bromley were held to a 0-0 draw by Kidderminster. They're also drawing 0-0 this evening against Wealdstone away from home. They're down to 10 men as well. Bromley, while Chesterfield are missing the chance to book their return to the Football League. They are 4-1 down at Halifax, but I'm sure come Saturday, the Spirites will be celebrating a very well-deserved promotion, because they have been unbelievable so far this season. This weekend, apart from Chesterfield, who play Boreham Wood live on TV, Bromley are home to York and Ebbsfleet go to Halifax. So that brings you all up to date with the football across the, how many tiers is it we cover? Four or five tiers that we cover for you here on the Ken Ollie podcast. It's really shaping up at both ends of all tables. It's just phenomenal. And you know, we're so lucky that we've got some really good people involved at our clubs who want to help us out and give us their time to speak to us, you know, and it's been a great season, and there's twists and turns to come, but I'm excited to see how it all shapes out, Matt.
Yeah, as I mentioned in the South East division, when I saw the result, I thought, twists and turns. I think, well, maybe is that done? Looked at the scaffold. Is that done? But I'm sure these things are going to change around a little bit as well here. So, yeah, interesting times. Again, the Easter period's coming up. Two games in the space of a few days should be interesting times coming up. So could make or break a few seasons there.
Absolutely. And do you know what? I want to talk about something a million miles away from all of the football that we cover, Matt. And that is this FPP nonsense in the Premier League. And you know, I work with a lad who's a Forest fan, and obviously frustrated that they've had points deducted this week. But I feel really sorry for both Forest and Everton. And I feel sorry for a lot of teams, actually, who, since these rules have come in, are just so hamstrung in everything that they do. You know, you're sitting there, Manchester United, one of the richest clubs in the world, are being told you can't afford to go and buy players anymore because of these rules. And I know that we need some sort of rules. I appreciate that we can't just have millions of pounds being wasted, especially with everything that's going on in the world away from that. But these restrictions just don't seem fair. It just seems to be a way that the big teams can get bigger and bigger and the small teams continue to struggle. And, you know, one of the things with Nottingham Forest is, if Nottingham Forest had sold Brennan Johnson to Brentford, a relegation rival, for £32 million in May, they wouldn't have been punished. Whereas because they waited till August to sell him for a nearer to his market value at £45 million and to a team that he wanted to go to who were changing at the other end of the table, they get punished. You know, it just feels like they're trying to make all these teams sell off their assets cheap as they can. And one thing that really rankles with me is it seems the best way to make this money is to sell off your homegrown players. That's what they keep saying with Chelsea, or Chelsea have to sell Conor Gallagher because he's homegrown. And sell Mason Mount because he's homegrown. this isn't right. This isn't the way you should be encouraging teams to grow. If you're basically saying the only reason for a Chelsea, a Manchester United to have an academy is because when you sell that player, it helps your FFP, that's not right. There's something not right about that. Or am I just talking nonsense there, man?
No, I think you're spot on, John. I can't understand why. So, again, Chelsea giving 8-year contracts to some of these players, but they have to sell Conor Gallagher, who's probably the heartbeat of the team, who the fans can relate to. Does it seem absolutely mad? But football at the top end is eating itself, John. So until they punish Manchester City, how they haven't become punished for all this, and these other teams have done, and from what we're led to believe, that it some of this thing might not actually be decided if they appeal till after the season ends, seems absolutely madness, doesn't it? So it's just the Premier League being a bit like that. And again, I don't think the media particularly helps. You know, you'd have thought the FA Cup started on Sunday, didn't you, with all the games going on, and what an FA Cup classic, Manchester United against Liverpool. I'm sure more people will be talking about Maidstone United being Ipswich in 10 years' time than that game. But it's just rammed down your throat that the Premier League, the greatest league in the world, and you just got to live with it. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Premier League, John. So again, football is eats itself, and there's too much money involved until they can sort this out. And again, to me, Forest did the best thing for their business in doing that thing for Brennan Johnson. But because they lost money outside that window, they'd have gone punished and they could lose money. It seems absolutely farcical to me.
It's insane. And yeah, you are right. There is a problem with money in football. I mean, I've always said if a footballer was on £10,000 a week, they are rich. Yeah. I don't need to be on £300,000 a week. You know, they've got so much money that they wouldn't even be able to spend it. You know, and then you get things like Jordan Henderson, who's saying that who goes to Saudi Arabia for £750,000 a week when he's on £175,000 a week already. £175,000 a week. You know, he's not skint, is he? He's not having to go to the food bank. He's not, you know, and there, when we're in such a... I always say transfer fees don't bother me. Transfer fees is fake money. I don't have a problem with that because it's literally Manchester City saying, here's 100 million of our fake pounds. We'll have your Jack Grealish. You go and spend that 100 million fake pounds on something else. You know, that doesn't faze me at all. But it's the wages that are the sickening thing. You know, it's awful when you see people struggling. You know, the cost of living is awful at the moment. And you've got people on £300,000 a week. You've got people on £175,000 a week saying that's not enough and going and earning even more money. And I just think it's those obscene monies that are causing the problem. And then, you know, Darren Head did talk about it earlier on about how the quality's got better because the football's filtering down. But then the wages demands are filtering down as well. You know, I'd imagine if you'd have said 15 years ago, some of the wages that people in Division 6 South are on, you would never have believed it, would you?
Well, there's some big money in it. In that. Yeah, it filters down all the way through. Just sort of see how it goes. But yeah, eventually football only sees itself. And I'm sure people at the top end, which are getting fed up with the Premier League and saying that, and coming down to these levels. So I think maybe that can benefit the supporters, the clubs can benefit from that. Just hopefully the wages don't come down for it.
No, I mean, imagine if you were in that sort of money, imagine you could probably have 23 amuse-bouches before every meal, couldn't you, if you went out and if you were on £175,000 a week? I think I could manage that, don't you?
Well, yeah, I could retire then if I had that, didn't I? But yeah, so
that's the thing.
I'd like to get involved in the running of a football club, but sometimes the stories that we hear as well off the record and what goes on, maybe it's not an industry you want to get involved in.
I reckon I could do it 6 weeks on £250,000 a week. That'd do me, and then I'll just go back to my normal obscurity, maybe write a book, and then just come back to doing the podcast.
Yeah, football's a strange in from top to bottom. I think football's a strange industry. So I love it, but it's a strange business.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you still on your hiatus of watching anything on the TV?
Haven't watched anything, mate. We're watching The Blacklist, but that's an old program. But we need to find something really.
It doesn't feel like there's much.
We did watch a film at the weekend, family film. The Mother with Jennifer Lopez, which apparently got slated by the critics, but it was quite good family, well, an action film. But otherwise, there's been bugger all on the telly, and people have been saying at work there's been nothing on the telly either. So I don't think we're missing too much.
No, I don't think we are. It does feel like at the moment there's a bit of a lull, I suppose. There's not a lot going on at all. And it's just like kind of in that period, aren't we, of oh, it's March. Where do we go from here? So I don't know. It's just
I did find a I was going to moan about it in a minute, which I found out. I was going to say, I did start, there's a programme on Amazon about Grimsby Town season last year. So I've been watching that. So that shows how sad I am, really. England C, John, right?
Oh, God. They're playing tonight?
Yesterday. Right. Barnett at home to Eastleigh. Paul McCallum's got 30 goals. Ridiculous this season. Eastleigh, another of my favourite clubs, could be relegated. Fingers crossed. It's not going to be Woking. Let it be Eastleigh. Paul McCallum is playing for England C and not Eastleigh. What the hell's going on?
Astonishing.
Well, again, the money that they must have paid to pay England C to go out to these places, surely that could put, you know, give some money to some charity or some kids' football. What a waste of time that is.
Well, I don't know. I think Wealdstone were a bit annoyed as well, because I think they've got some players who were involved. And then the league have said, oh, you've got to play Bromley on Wednesday night. So those players then couldn't play in that game either. And they were very annoyed. Bromley incidentally have taken the lead in that game, 1-0 to Bromley in that one. But yeah.
Just seems, Matt, what? Paul, well, what is Paul McKenna play for your country? But
well, point one, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Point two, why are players being forced to miss out on games for their clubs who pay their wages to take part in this nonsense? And point three, does anyone really care?
No, I just don't understand.
I almost feel like England C was a much better idea many years ago. It's a bit like League Cups. You know, they were more relevant 20, 30 years ago than they are now. And I just feel that's very difficult.
If I was an Eastleigh fan, I'd be, what? He's not playing? It just beggars belief. What was the point of that? Again, you're right. 20, 30 years ago, if you were a non-league player and you got called up, fair play to you, because you could have another job.
You had another job. You weren't a professional footballer, but also you didn't have the opportunities that players have now. You know, you didn't have playoff finals at Wembley. You didn't, conceivably, England C was the pinnacle for some of those players 20, 30 years ago. Nowadays, it's just, oh, yeah, I'm playing a game. Yeah, well, I've got an England kit on. But it's not as, I'm quite sure if you said to a player, would you rather play, get a call up for England C or play at Wembley in the playoff final? They'd play at Wembley in the playoff final, wouldn't they?
When I read this morning that Paul McCallum was playing for and not playing for Eastleigh, I thought, my goodness, what a waste of, and don't they always seem to play what I will see? Ridiculous. That's rant over about football being rubbish sometimes.
Fair enough. But it's always been a strange thing. And I mean, while you're ranting, non-league day, I actually saw someone else saying on Facebook not long before we did this, it's all very patronising, isn't it? You know, especially with the whole, someone quite rightly said, why is it being made out that, oh, you should go and watch a non-league game this weekend because there's no other football on, so come and watch us, come and watch us. You know, non-league is massive now. It's growing and growing and growing. We shouldn't have to have all these bloody incentives to come and watch a game of non-league football. People should just want to come and watch a game of non-league football, regardless of what's on elsewhere.
I'm sure the likes of Sky Sports will be patronising to the hilt, probably, on Friday when they go to these games. Yeah, but again, every day is non-league day in my eyes.
Absolutely. Well, we'll wrap it up there because every day is non-league day on this podcast as well. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this show this week. And thank you to our two guests for their time joining us to discuss everything about Glebe and Ashford United. Another interesting week and massive games, as we say, this weekend to come up. And who knows what the state of play will be in all of our leagues this time next week. You can find us on social media. On Twitter /X at Kent NL Podcast. Find us on Facebook, search for Kent Non-League Podcast. You can also find the group Kent Non-League Football Chat where all the latest news gets discussed in there. We're also on Threads and Instagram as well, at Kent Only Podcast. I'm at John Phipps 81. Matt is at Matthew_Gerard. As we say, it's been another amazing week. And I'm sure this week will be amazing as well. And we'll bring you all the latest next week on the Kent Only Podcast.
And I have to say, our condolences to Dave Skinner, top man he was as well. And hopefully Dartford can do him proud this weekend and for the rest of the season.